This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 92. This is our first recording of 2023. The date is the 11th of January and it's precisely 8 o'clock. We're running a bit behind schedule today because of me, as per usual, up to no good, as some would say. Very welcome back, everybody. I hope you're all in good health and in good spirits and being cheered by a very buoyant market and markets since we started this year. So I'm sure you're all happy, bar myself, who's had three profit warnings in three trading days. But we'll talk about that a bit later. We can't all be winners all of the time. So, Pete, how you feeling, mate? How you going?
Well, mate, yeah. Well, first of all, I must just say it's 7 o'clock, not eight, mate. You're getting a bit ahead of yourself, but that's cool.
Yeah, but, sorry, it's 7 no. p.m. I'm waiting. I want to get to 8 o'clock so I can just go, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
I forgot to say, you know, everyone, welcome to the podcast. So
that's cool. Well, mate, I've got some news, right? I had a half-hour conversation, whatever, with a specialist today regarding my health problem. And it was really interesting because he seemed quite knowledgeable. He thinks that it might not be acid burn on my esophagus causing the problem, which would sort of make sense because I was saying to you before we started the call, the pain today isn't too bad. But if I went back a couple of days, I mean, I was in agony at the weekend. It was horrible. So that there's some sense to that because you'd think a burnt esophagus would just hurt all the time. So he says all my organs and stuff check out fine. He thinks it could be a gallbladder stone. So that's interesting because I had a bladder stone removed from my, you know, wee bladder. So this is a gallbladder stone. So he's going to arrange an ultrasound to specifically look at that. So, I mean, it would be brilliant if that is, you know, if we can identify the problem, that would really help. So we'll see what happens. But I'm positive that I'm pleased that something's happening because for so long I've been banging my head against the wall and feeling like no one bloody cares. So it's really good that I feel they're doing something now.
Yeah, that's really, really good news, mate. And I'm sure everyone's just praying that you get this thing resolved because it's been going on for so long.
Ridiculous.
You know what I mean? So let's hope so. Okay, mate. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now I'm conscious that when we did the last podcast, we did it ahead of schedule, so we didn't close off the year. So I'm just going to give some rudimentary numbers, which I'm sure you're all aware of already regarding the markets. The FTSE 100 actually outperformed quite a lot of benchmarks last year, and it eked out, I think at the end, it was about 1% higher complete return on the year, there or thereabouts. I think the interesting thing is the markets have been very, very buoyant for everybody since then. But the Dow Jones, which is usually, you know, much, much stronger than the UK market or markets, finished down 8.8%. And the S&P finished down 19.4%. So, you know, we outdid them for once. The European markets, DAX fell 12% and the CAC 9.5%. I know you were shorting that at one stage last year as well. So hopefully that benefited you, them having a bit of a tumble during 2022.
Mate, I can't remember what I was doing with particular trades, to be honest. But
You were chopping and changing, mate, that's for certain. But since then, the markets opened on the first day of trading of this year, just went like that, whoosh. And it's been very, very strong since then. So the FTSE closed at, where? What did I say the number was? 7,384. I don't think I said the number.
Really?
7,384 was what it closed at for 2022. And today, the FTSE hit 7,772 as an intraday high.
Yeah.
You know, so we've already done essentially nearly 400 points in the in six trading days, which is mad and fast for the FTSE 100. It actually finished and closed up 30 points at 7,724. So another strong day.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here at, you know, 1 year highs and above 1 year highs. The Dow has moved up as well. That's moved up 700 odd points. It's up 2.24% for the year so far. And before we started this, I had a quick look. It was at 33,888 versus its end of year close of 33,147. And the S&P closed 2022 at 3,839, and it's currently at 3,952, up 2.94%. So, you know, the markets have been very, very kind to investors thus far. And lots of the analysts were basically saying, 2023 is going to be a really difficult year, essentially. So watch out. So thus far, markets have been kind, but please be aware that these things, we're in for a long, further.
It's a long year.
Weeks of the,
it's a long year.
Another long year.
Yeah.
And you know what? As I said to Pete, I was saying to Pete last year, and I keep repeating, thus far, the politicians have been quiet, right? Once they start talking again, mumbling and jumbling, just watch out, right?
Watch out.
Because
watch
thus far,
out
when... you know, maybe they're still on holiday. Are they still on holiday, Pete?
No, they're back this week. But, mate, the thing to watch out for is Boris Johnson comeback. That's the thing to watch out for. Oh, my Lord. Oh,
Personally, I don't see it happening, mate. But he's got lots of fans wanting him to come back.
It's all about May. If the Tories get absolutely murdered in May, which is very likely, the May local elections,
yeah,
it's going to put so much pressure on Rishi Sunak, so much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but mate, on the market, it's really interesting because we were conned at the end of last year. The market conned us because the market didn't give us a Santa rally. And I got...
It was delayed.
Yeah. I got totally caught because I went... The only thing I did right was I kept it small. But I went long on the S&P 500, probably around, say, the 12th of December. It's all on my website when I did it.
Yeah.
And obviously that went against me. So that was like a bit of a pain to finish the year off. But so far this year, I've recovered a big chunk of that hit, and I'm doing really well on my FTSE 100 test system thing, which is going beautifully. So yeah, like you said, it's almost like the Santa rally got shoved back. I do get a sense, and you notice it particularly in the retail sector, that I think a lot of bad news was priced in, and it was probably overdone in some sectors last year. But I mean, we're still finding, as you said, today there were like profit warnings right, left and center today. And as a result, you know, yeah, there are still stocks that are getting battered, but equally there are stocks, particularly in retail, that are doing much better than people expected. And that has really caught the markets out. So it's a weird one. FTSE 100, the all-time high is 7,904. We are in spitting distance of that. It's incredible.
It's incredible because we know there's so much negativity that's out there. Yeah. You know, talk of deeper recession, of cost of living crisis, of energy crisis, you know, people losing jobs, companies are saying they're going to slash their employees' numbers by half. It's like, so why is the markets going up? It's like, you know, we will find out at some point. But for those that are getting, you know, overly exuberant, prepare, you know, wear it, you know, put an helmet on because we could be getting absolutely bashed over the head pretty soon. I want to touch on a couple of large cap stocks. I know we talk about small caps quite often. And what was interesting last year, a couple of stocks I've just made note of. that did really well last year. And there's obvious reasons why. And one of them, you know, given what was going on geopolitically, was BAE Systems, which I know you mentioned a couple of times.
I've got it.
Year.
I hold it,
and
yeah.
That was up 55% during the year. You know, a blue chip behemoth that nobody was thinking of buying at the beginning of last year climbed 55%. So it's not always the obvious stocks that do well here, folks. And it's not always the stocks that have been championed and, you know, cheerleaded by this person and that person. Sometimes you've got to look at what's going on in the market, the macro and all the rest of it, and go, haha, this sector could do well this year. And don't have to worry about anyone else backing your idea. Pick it yourself. Think independently of everybody else. Because if you look at all the stocks that were championed and heavily ramped and promoted last year, they're all down between 10 and 25%. Right?
At least.
The other two, BP and Shell, Pete, we all know why. Oil prices, energy prices.
Yeah.
We're up 43% during 2022. Yeah. Mining company Glencore was up 50% during the year. Again, you know, absolutely phenomenally well. So, you know, there are opportunities in the market to just keep an eye out and have a look at what's going on and you know, just choose your stocks, not picking stocks around what everyone else is picking. You know, read what's going on in the market, read some of the papers, watch the news, look at what's going on and think, this could be interesting for this company. That what impact would that have on this company? Yeah. And if no one else is thinking about it, it could be a good idea. If everyone's thinking about it, it could be a bad idea.
And it also plays to that point about diversification. I mean, I've actually got three of the four stocks you mentioned. But having said that, you know, my portfolio got battered last year. I'll put out all the figures and stuff, but I think it was down about 17 or 18% on my main portfolio, the one that I'm really focused on, the WD-40, the one I'm mainly focused on. But bizarrely, my income portfolio, which is a do-nothing, leave-it-alone, was up 9.4%, which is just...
There you go.
Nuts. But that held BAE Systems, it held Telecom Plus, it held AstraZeneca, all did really well. And of course, I picked up loads of dividends.
Yeah, I mean, this is the beauty of diversification. And I think, you know, a lot of the fund managers didn't do very well last year either. There's lots of people kicking off because Terry Smith is apparently paying himself an absolute fortune, but yet that portfolio, FundSmith, didn't do very well during 2022. So it's interesting.
They didn't say that for the last 10 years when he was doing really well for them.
Well, this is it. He was doing really well, but I think when you're on the years that you're not doing so well, maybe you could pay yourself less. That's what some of the papers are saying.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
You don't need to take the maximum that you could take because your shareholders or the people that have got funds with you haven't done so well. But, you know, it's one of them things you can't, you know, do it every single year. Fund managers can't do it. You know, private investors certainly can't.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's interesting because if you think going into 2022, everybody, the fund managers, the media, us, everybody, was bullish on the market at the start of 2022. God, how wrong we all were.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some stats out there about all the analysts that were covering the US market, you know, S&P and Dow, and they all got it wrong. There was only one that was anywhere near the figure. Because I mean, this is the thing, Pete, you know, analysts, fund managers, et cetera, they're not necessarily having to be bullish, but the whole point of it, they want you to invest. And therefore, they're going to give positive sentiment for you to invest.
Yeah.
If every fund manager is coming out at the beginning of 2023 saying, I expect the FTSE to be down 15% by the end of the year.
It's going to be a rubbish year. Don't go near.
You're going to go, I'm not going to put my ISA in this year, or I'm not going to invest.
Yeah.
But actually, what we should be doing is trickling into the market regardless. You know, and I say this every year, come April, you don't have to lump it all in you know, the first trading day of April, your ISA.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can trail it out over the year. So, you know, those that have been doing pound cost averaging or dollar cost averaging for the past 5, 10, 20, 20 years have probably done extremely well, you know, and
mate,
did well during 2022.
that's a great segue into, you know, the concept of not putting all your money in at once, putting the money in over time. But it also links the idea of when you buy a new stock, just buy a small amount, see how it goes, then you can add to it, which segues beautifully into Admiral ADM, which I hold, I bought recently. You had as one of your picks for
one of my five top five. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, and it, buddy thing, profit warned on us today. So that, well, sorry, it didn't profit warn. Direct Line Group profit warned.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that later on. Yeah, but Pete, remember this, right? Unfortunately, and sorry, apologies for you that you're holding it physically. This competition we're going to talk about a bit later, the entry for it, closing date, is the 27th of January.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you've had a stock that's profit warned, it means that if it rallies after the 27th or the 1st of February, you might be in better shape than the people that, you know, have chosen stocks that haven't profit warned, because they may profit warn after the 1st of February. So, you know, it's
so true.
It is what it is, mate.
I mean, if you think about it, Admiral might get a bid during the year and all of a sudden,
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I did say to you at the time when I was talking about, because it was my selection, I didn't know you owned it, that if it dropped far enough, I might consider buying it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is as you say, an indirect hit that Admiral's had of no fault of, well, as far as you know, no fault of its own at the moment.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good point. I mean, like you said, you know, commiserations to me for having it. But the thing I did right was I only bought £3,000 worth of it in my income portfolio because I am being really cautious in general at the moment. I don't want to go lumping loads of money into anything at the moment. I'm just being really careful and just building positions rather than going mad.
Oh, cool beans. Now, Pete, we can do one of two things. We can get into the competition side of it, or we can break here and you can give us an update on the charity for Backup Trust and the fact this is going to be the closure of it and we're going to start another one.
Yeah,
you know, do that first. And then we'll do all the competition stuff and I've got to update people about it and everything.
Yeah, let's do Backup because we got some really good development on it, a great development on it. Thank you to all the listeners and a big thank you to SharePad as well, because of what they did, where basically they gave us something like £700 towards it because of a survey.
It was over 800, Pete. I think it was over 800.
Over 800. So as it happens, at the end of the year then, for the Backup Trust, which is a spinal injury charity, I'm paralyzed at chest level, so you know I have a particular interest in it. We everybody combined contributed £4,008 plus obviously the gift aid, and that's come from 82 supporters. So thank you everybody. That's a fantastic effort. And I know Backup are really pleased with what was raised. And you know, especially when you consider what difficult times we're all in and how everybody's portfolio was shot sideways last year. We really appreciate that you gave your help. That's fantastic.
Yeah, my plan is to have a conversation with Backup. I'm going to try and pluck some names out of a tombola sort of situation and have Backup Trust send some cups, some bits and pieces and miscellaneous sort of items to some of our generous donors that we've had to support Backup, the Twin Peaks Challenge of 2022. So I'm going to sort that out at some point going forward. And if you do receive something, you know, or get a contact from them, it will be because your name's been pulled out of a hat and they'll be asking you potentially to share your home address to get something in the post. But bear with me on that because I'm juggling a few things in the air at the moment. So the plan for 2023 is I'll be restarting another challenge. And once again, I'll be choosing the charity of which I'm an ambassador. So that'll be Memphis. And we'll have another goal, which I've more or less identified a different goal for the monies to go to, and I've got some plans regarding something I'm going to be doing later in the year to support that charity as well to enhance the numbers that we raise. But from Friday, which will be the 13th, there will be a new Just Giving page, which will be justgiving.com, Twin Peaks Challenge 23, and that will be with Memphis. So that will be the page. I'll put some links into the write-up of this podcast for it. And once again, I'll be pushing, and Pete will be helping me to push to raise some money for Memphis to help the young people throughout the year. Part and parcel of me choosing Memphis again this year was because we really struggled into Christmas to actually raise the 22 and a half grand that we wanted to raise for the Christmas gift list. We actually raised just shy of £12,000, but we did a workaround to enable us to get the presents that we needed to get for the children that we wanted to support during this hard time. So we got the presents with other monies from elsewhere and got the gifts donated to the children. We don't want to be doing what we did in the last and scrambling like we did in 2022. So that's part of the reason why. But it's not just that what I'm looking at regarding the Christmas list. I'm looking at something quite substantial, which will enable the kids to be supported, not just this year, but in future years going forward. All right. So I'd appreciate your very kind help again, ladies and gents, with that charity fundraise and Twin Peaks Challenge going forward, which will be the charity challenge. And now we're going to talk about the Twin Peaks Investing Challenge.
Do you want me just to run through just a couple of people who've donated? Just a couple here.
I'll just back up trust one.
I'll do it fast. Yeah. So we've got Jamie at Mullet 81. Thanks for the podcast. Wish found you guys sooner. Timmy, Pete, wishing you all the best for 2023. All your time and effort for investors and charity enjoyed and appreciated. Long may it continue. Chris HM, listening to the podcast now, as I do every fortnight. Always insightful, always enjoyable, essential listening. Thank you, chaps. Looking forward to more of the same in 2023. I just realised I probably read them out in the last podcast, but they're so good. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, we've got some phenomenal people that have been supportive of us, you know, and it's there's a lot of work involved in putting this together, these podcasts. It's going to be even more work for Pete and I going forward because we're going to do this competition thing, which I thought would be a good idea. And I'm trying to cut down on my work and other commitments going forward, and I'm going, oh boy. But ladies and gents, you guys have already. Ladies and gents have already been awesome regarding your feedback regarding what we've now titled the Twin Peaks Challenge. We've had a fantastic sort of number of people that have already entered that particular competition. And due to the bandwidth of and selections that people have made, our main sort of contributor and sponsor of this particular competition / challenge is ShareScope. I've had to use the word, rein it in just a little bit. So what I've been told just today, well, last week I was told that we'd have to we'd try and do some workarounds it. But tonight I've been told definitively what we can include. So my apologies for people I've already, and Pete and I have already accepted onto the competition regarding some of their selection. But this is it. The long and short of it is this. UK listed stocks. US listed stocks, New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ listed, et cetera, et cetera. Not OTC stocks and smaller micro cap US stocks and Canada stocks. So no Australian stocks for this year's competition. If you've chosen an Australian stock in your selection, Pete and I will be contacting you, or you can contact me and revise one of those or two of those or whatever number of Australian stocks you've selected. Please change it. Or when I contact you, just say, oh, I'll have to swap that one for this one. The other thing I will ask you for going forward is that any selection you make, because of the complications of certain companies having the same ticker symbol, please can you put a hashtag or a dollar sign next to the ticker and also the name of the company so we're not confusing it with another ALC or another Glenn somewhere else in the world. So that's what I would ask you to do. The other thing I'm going to ask everyone to do as well is just to make sure that once they've chosen that five, yeah, that they monitor it themselves. Yeah, we're going to monitor it. We're going to put it on a template. We're going to monitor it and so on and so forth. But just in case there's any sort of issues that we have regarding our own, you know, computers and all the rest of it. Pete, anything?
Yeah, no, that's great, mate. Can I just clarify a couple of things then? So you're saying no Australian stocks, nope, but the other ones you named are okay. So
Yeah.
The other thing is when you say hashtag, so put hashtag against UK ones and put a dollar sign as a hashtag, if you like, next to American ones, yeah?
American ones. And if it's a Canadian one, say it's a TSX dollar sign.
Okay.
Yeah. Or dollar sign, you know, ticker symbol Canada.
Yeah.
So we know that it's not a an American one instead of a Canadian one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes good sense. I mean, we're not anticipating problems with the calculation of it, but if you run your, if you keep a separate sort of rough idea on how the five are doing, then obviously we can do any cross checks if there are any strange anomalies.
Absolutely.
But we don't expect anything.
We don't envision any problem with using ShareScope and SharePad.
Yeah, SharePad will be fine. Yeah.
So at the moment, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to enable the competition to be one where it's a bit different from everybody else's competition. So the plan is this. We're going to run it from the 1st of February and it will be calendar month. Okay, so each calendar month, we will announce the highest performer portfolio for that month. So essentially, each month, your portfolio will start from scratch, right? But accumulatively, we'll be running a side portfolio that will give us the highest performers for the whole year. So irrespective of you being in the bottom performing portfolio in February, because of movements of the markets, changing markets, profit warnings, etc., you could actually have your portfolio being the highest monthly performer for April or July or whatever. So the plan is each month we'll have a different winner for that particular performance for that particular month. And therefore, you're going to have one calendar month winner each month, hopefully different people from all over the shop. When we get to the end of December, we'll have the month winner for December. And then we'll also have the winner of the overall competition performance from the 1st of February through to the end of December and the runner-up. So there'll be three essential winners at the end of the year. But there's always been 11 or maybe 10 winners from the start of the competition. And hopefully, so what I'm trying to do here is not have it where one person starts in February and just goes, and that person's winning every single month, every single month, every single month, every single month. We want to make it so that lots of other people get an opportunity to win. And we'll also be talking about the laggards as well. And I've been asking people some questions about why they've chosen particular stocks. And we'll be talking about what their feedback is. So if Pete or I say, oh, that's an interesting stock, what made you select that? It's because I'm trying to gauge what the reasons are and we'll discuss it. So I'll be discussing some of the reasons why people have chosen some stocks here tonight regarding some of the selections they've made. And I'll be doing that going forward throughout the year as to why Philip chose that particular stock or Fred chose that particular stock. So we make it quite interesting and deliberate in that sense, in the sense of engaging with everybody else.
I think that's a great
idea.
Did
any of that make any sense?
Yeah, it totally did. And so really what you're saying is we're going to have 11 races during the year and we'll have a world championship and someone will be the world champion.
Formula One. I knew you'd have to use a Formula One analogy, Pete.
It might have been a MotoGP analogy.
MotoGP, okay.
It might have been.
So that's the madness in me. And as I said, I'm working on some prize at the moment. Hopefully by the time we record the next podcast, I'll have some idea of what sort of prize is. But I know for definite that ShareScope and SharePad are going to help us out with a couple of prizes. But I'm looking for a bit more, because obviously we've got probably a dozen or maybe 14 prizes to hand out at some point. So what I'll be asking for at some point when we announce the monthly winners is, we'll obviously add your username and Twitter handle. We'll send something to your Twitter handle and say, look, you know, depending on the body of people who are involved with it, we'll ask them to contact you, and we won't have corresponding of your details, home address or anything like that, and get them to post out or send you digitally what it is the prize may be. That's my thinking about it. Yeah, I do not want to be packaging things up and sending it to Timbuktu.
I like Tim. He's all right, Timbuktu. I like the guy.
Yeah.
Mate, a quick thought. There are going to be some people listening to this podcast who aren't on Twitter, who don't have a Twitter account. They may read Twitter, but they may not have an account. So let's just say that they can email us what their five stocks are if they want, and we'll contact them through email. So is that cool? Yeah. You're cool with that.
I can email you, Pete. Yeah, if you want.
Yeah,
that.
So they can email me at wheeliedealer@btinternet.com. My email address is on my website at the top of the page, whatever. Anyway.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Pete's Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
I'm going to ask you to lead off with some of the selections that have been made by people that have sent it directly to you. Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about some of the stocks that have been selected, mate, and I'll do the same regarding a couple of people that have sent me that I've plucked out here to talk about, so we can show the variety of what's been chosen so far.
I'm just going to do it completely randomly. So I'm picking up, actually, I know this guy, my mate Steve, Laird Elmsky, good guy. Yep. He's Laird Elmsky on Twitter. He's chosen Rolls Royce, RR dot, Virtue, VTU, CEY Centamin, TW dot, which is Taylor Wimpey, and HBR, which I think is Harbour Energy. Is that right? I think it is. Pretty sure
it is. I think it is. Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's an interesting selection from Steve, because he's got Rolls Royce, obviously a potential recovery play, and got all the stories around the nuclear reactors and stuff, the small reactors. But I think that's all a bit in the future. VTU, car dealer. So again, and that's a sort of element of recovery, but also a sort of undervalued, you know, beat up value play. Centamin, play on gold, the Sukari gold operation in Egypt. Taylor Wimpey, the house builder. I mean, that's quite a bold call. So, and then HBR Harbour Energy. So, you know, if oil prices, energy prices stay at current levels, rise, whatever, then Steve could do well there. So I think his portfolio does seem a bit geared to recovery. So if we get a recovery, I mean, maybe he'll find that it isn't so great the start of the year. And as we get towards the end of 2023, and maybe if there's a miracle of a recovery coming, you know, things getting better in the economy, which is sort of feasible, maybe he'll do well coming into the close of the year. So he could be like a late horse in the race, you know. So, yeah, interesting choices there.
Yeah, I think the this is what I want from the competition, really, in a sense of, the variety we're going to get, and different people are going to choose. Possibly, I would say the word. I've been asking people, "Oh, I'm intrigued by that," and they're going, "Yeah, I'd say more than intrigued." Actually, you know, it's an intriguing stock. You know, I'm not saying it's a pile of poop. I'm just saying it's an interesting stock. You know, why have you chosen that? And some people, I just love the reply and the responses. So it's one way of getting people to actually have a little chat about why they've chosen the stock. So we'll talk about some of these going forward. So do you want to do another one, Pete, or do you want me to share one of mine?
You do one of yours while I look for one that particularly grabs me by the watsits, you know?
Okie dokie. So we've got a chap here who's on ticker at PaulBen00158697. And the handle name above that is Investor Cluso. So Paul has chosen Google, Tesla, Me Group, that's the former Photo Me Group, Volex, and his wild card is Saeta, if I pronounced that right, ticker symbol SED. So that's why he's chosen that. And I asked Paul the question to see if he'd reply, and he's replied, thankfully. Some people haven't as yet, there's still time to do that. And I've put MEG have had a great run since changing their name and ticker symbol. Do you own the shares? Paul replied, "I don't own MEGP yet. Was looking at them over Christmas and still seems cheap on a forward PE of 9, despite the increase in SP in share price. Just need to work out what to sell now. I added Google and Tesla as I believe AI will go mainstream in 2023 and they are two of the top players." So that's Paul thinking really quite comprehensive about his particular selections. So that's a group of five there from Paul.
Saeta, I'm not sure. Yep. I'm not sure what the EPIC code is. I believe
SED. SED.
SED. I believe that's a battery specialist. Pretty sure, you know, like it's a play on the batteries and electric fuse. It might be motors. I think it might be electric motors for EVs, but it's a play on that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting one. I was just looking at ME Group. I see the shares have had a lovely run and it's clearly got momentum, which is always something that's can be useful.
I looked at the chart when I saw a few people have selected ME and I was like, wow, what happened? They changed their name. What changed after that? But it's had a fantastic run, mate. The last, I think, I forget what month it was, but it's had a beautiful, it's just gone do-do-do-do-do-do and just kept on going up.
I think it's doing some interesting things. I mean, the laundry operation seems to be going pretty well. They're doing new stuff in fruit juices and things, and that seems to be going well. And it tends to be quite a cash generative kind of business. So, there's a lot to like on MEGP, I must say. I'll do another one here from the guy who I see on Twitter a few times, Yorkie Tim. And I've always wondered is it eating chocolate Yorkies or is it, you know, the Yorkie dog or is it the fact he lives in Yorkshire or maybe he plays cricket for Yorkshire
to you, Pete. I'm not sure you've even seen his reply yet, mate.
I haven't seen it yet. I've been a bit busy with all sorts of stuff. Anyway, he's gone for, in a way, he might have been a bit unlucky with this one with the news we've had from Direct Line Group and the impact it's had on other insurers.
As I keep saying, it doesn't matter because the competition doesn't start until
God
the first.
God all year. So
God all year.
He's gone for HSX, Hiscox. He's gone through Prudential, PRU. So obviously that's two insurers who may have felt a bit of a read across from DLG upsetting the apple cart. GPH, that's an interesting one, Global Ports Holdings. As I understand it, they do like ports for cruise ships and things in the Mediterranean, so that could be a really good play on the sort of travel recovery, so I could sort of see where he's coming from there. AstraZeneca, AZM, well, we all know about that. I hold it, Peter holds it, whatever. That one broke out to new all-time highs, which is bullish behavior. So he could be onto a nice little choice there. This one is quite an unusual one, and I'm not sure I would go for it myself, this one. And that is wine, which I think, is that Virgin Wine or something, is it?
I forgot. Or is it?
Or is it? Yes. Let me just check what it exactly is.
Yeah,
but Naked wine stock. That is. Yeah, Naked Wines.
Naked Wines, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that it's really beaten up. It's had that classic, you know, that's a three-year chart for people on YouTube. You can see it.
Done
the classic thing where it absolutely tanked last year, but it has got into that sideways phase, so maybe it's going to go in the doldrums for a little bit. But Tim could be on to an absolute cracker there later in the year, maybe. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, those stocks have had a bit of a knock-on from DLG today, those insurers. But if that is the case, he's getting in at a better price. And if they do recover, then they'll do okay going forward. And what I like is I'm going to find myself repeating this throughout the year probably, is the variety and the fact that people are diversifying across the portfolio. And some are choosing some blue chips, and then they've got some other little speculative ones in there for a bit of spice. So I think what I'd like to see more of are, if I could ask people to be so bold, is probably just give a little line as to some of the reasons why they've chosen maybe one or two of their stocks. Otherwise, I will be sending out, you know, tweets with questions on it. So if you want to add a little, I've chosen this one because a little regarding one of your stocks. I know there's only 240 sort of characters you can use on each tweet. But yeah, that would be really good going forward, Pete.
You got me thinking of what you were saying there. I'll just go back to a quick motorbike racing analogy. It's a bit like if you're going to win a world championship at bike racing, it's about being consistently winning, you know, on the podium. You're not necessarily winning every race, but you're coming in the top four every race. You're not falling off very often. And I think by having a portfolio approach where you've got five stocks that have got different features and whatever, you're sort of covered for all the races in the year for the different circuits, the different tracks you're going to be racing on. Mm. Whereas if you go for, you know, all high risk, all in one kind of sector, you know, for all resources or whatever, you might find that you streak ahead at the start of the race and you're doing absolutely brilliant at the start of a race and then you crash. You know, you fall off. Yeah. And if you crash, you don't get any points. So, you know, it's another analogy that really fits there.
I think you've made a beautiful point there in the sense of this is part of the reasons why I'm trying to have it so that, you know, the person that's leading from here to July may not win the whole competition. Yeah. But equally, the person that's winning in July may be the winner for that month, as well as being the second or the third place person for the past couple of months. We want everyone to have an opportunity to be winning something and to open it up to as many people.
That makes sense.
One
thing I like is the realism of it, in the sense that quite often we see these stock competitions where you have to pick one stock or whatever and you get a leaderboard. And it's always, you know, the same person is out in front and got like, you know, 500% gain and no one's ever going to catch them. And it's like, and in a way, it's almost like, you get these real gurus of private investing who are basically brilliant. There's some guys out there who are absolutely amazing and they smash it out of the park year after year after year and they are really good, right? But the reality is most of us aren't like that. Most of us are just Joe average, Joe normal private investors. And in a way, being able to see other people in the scoreboard and having better months and having not so good months is a more realistic picture of what investing is actually about and what it's actually like in the real world. So I think for newer investors, it could be a really useful exercise in making them understand that you don't necessarily need to be blowing the lights out 300% every year. It's more about that consistency and doing well over time and just, you know, repeating what you're doing. The trick is to do it every race, not just at one.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you, mate. I absolutely agree with you. It's essential, I think, for people to have a look at their portfolio, their real portfolios, the money that they've got the hard-earned cash in. And I've been saying this for quite a number of years now, and I've been asked again this year, why don't you share your CAGR for the year, your end-of-year CAGR, your performance for the year? And I'll say, because it's not really that important. What's important is what I've done over 30 years. And my overall compounding CAGR is significant. Why? Because I've managed to look at my portfolio with a view to what I'm aiming to achieve by the time I'm 30. By the time I'm 60.
Yeah, when you're 30, yeah.
yeah, I wish, which isn't that long away. You know what I mean? So as I enter what will be now my 31st year of investing.
Wow.
You know, what difference does, you know, let me just change tack here. Fantastic article by Richard Bedard talking about consistency and talking about markets and talking about performance. And he's like, you know, you don't identify somebody as a good investor by what they've done for 1 year or 2 years. You recognize who a good investor is over the course of decades. Yeah. You're looking to invest not for 2023 this year. You're looking to invest for what your goals are for your children, yourself, your family, over the next decade, over the next 20 years, over the next 30 years. So whoever smashed the lights out last year or in 2021, probably didn't do so well in 2022. It doesn't make them a bad investor. It doesn't make the person that smashed the lights out in 2022 the best investor in 2023, you know. And stop comparing yourself to other people's performance. Just sort out what you need to do for your portfolio to do the best that it possibly can. And if you've got any time at all to dedicate to researching and reading more books about investing, then do it. Yeah. But don't keep reading everyone's tweets to think, oh, they're doing it that way, so therefore I've got to copy them, because you're getting nothing from that. And that's what happened in 2023. All of the stocks that were heavily promoted and were pushed and pushed and pushed throughout the year were the ones that didn't do so well. Just bear with me. Carry on, Pete. I've got to...
I was going to say that Richard Bedard article is on the homepage of SharePad, ShareScope. So if onto the homepage, you'll see it there. So I haven't read it yet. I mean to read it, and I will get round to reading it. Richard's very good. He's on Twitter. Is he Richard Bedard on Twitter? I think he probably is.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
He's very good. He's been around. He's been around as long as I can remember. And I've been investing for, this is coming into my 24th year. And Richard's been around all that time. And I remember reading his articles. I think it was on Interactive. It was III, Interactive Investor International in the old days. And he's really good, and he's well worth reading. You can learn a lot about how to invest from reading what Richard says.
Yeah, I think we need more of that, really, in the sense of people thinking about the reasons why they're investing. I'm not saying less so the performance, but the importance of looking long term. And, you know, when you look at any chart for the S&P or the, well, I think FTSE is probably a wrong example, to be fair. Yeah.
It tends to be
going up over the long term. You don't see that little wiggles in between when you're looking over 10, 20, 30 years. But if you're looking on a daily chart, it's like that. You need to be looking over the course of 5 years, 10 years and 15 years. I think that's a better indication of how well people are doing or how well markets are doing, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I mean, I read something recently that was, you know, comparing performance of the US markets and UK markets. And yes, you're right. You look at the S&P 500, the Dow, they've absolutely massively outperformed the FTSE 100. But when you factor in for dividends, that difference closes a lot. You'd be surprised how much that difference closes. Because the thing is, even though the FTSE 100 has been a bit of a sluggish laggard, it's been knocking out 4.5% dividend year after year after year. And that put in your portfolio really compounds and really helps.
It does. It goes back to the thing, you know, that we always say that the best part of investing is those dividends dropping in. Yeah. Is getting those little, we don't literally get them checks in the post anymore. You know, some of us used to, but when you see the dividends going into your portfolio and you're like, okay, do I reinvest that? Or do I keep it on hold for cash for using another time? And if you're able to generate 5% just from your dividends across the whole of your portfolio, you know, 3.5% to 5%.
Yeah.
And I keep saying this, and you can get 6-7% from capital gains across your portfolio. If you're able to do 10% per year, that's not bad.
That's really good.
And every 7 years, your whole portfolio is doubling. Yeah, it's going up 100% if you can manage 10.1% across that. It's just amazing. And I think that's what people should be doing, especially in the going forward when we're concerned about where the markets might actually be going. You know.
Yeah, I mean that's really true because in a way you could say we've had quite a good period for investing, particularly for growth investing, going for growth stocks. That was certainly the case in the years leading up to 2022. And now we could be moving into a period for the markets that is, I hate the term, but it is more about value stocks. It's more about getting the dividends. It's more about getting the cash flows. It's more about getting strong balance sheets. It's more about getting old fashioned solid businesses rather than the fly-by-night latest story that's going to blow up in your face. And I think, you know, so that makes it even more important to focus on getting those dividends. And my God, did I appreciate dividends last year? I mean, I think I would have been suicidal if I hadn't had that constant drip of drip of dividends coming into my portfolio. I would have been absolutely. Yeah, I want to just touch on this because it's one of the things I had written down before the call. I can't help feeling a little bit more optimistic and motivated and positive about this year. I think it's partly the sort of psychological way humans think of, I am human, believe it or not. Yeah, okay. It's this thing that you know, when you have a cruddy year, and my God, I had a cruddy 20, you know, not just on the investor side, but on my health side, I think 2022 is the worst year of my life. I think it was dreadful. And, you know, when you've had a year like that, you can't help but come into the new year with some sort of optimism and hope and positivity and you know, and as much as I would sort of say it's really important to keep our emotions and our thinking and our sort of our thought process, process logical and rational and pretty much sort of on a level-headed basis, in a way, it's sort of naturally human to have times where you're completely fed up with things and whatever, and then to have times when you're more euphoric and, you know, enthusiastic about things. And I just wonder, how do you feel, Pete, coming into 2023?
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the TWINPEETS promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
With regards to the markets or life in general, or both?
Just what's your mood, you know? I mean, are you more infused at the start of this year than you were at the end of 2022, you know?
I think when we got to the end of the year and we were recording that podcast, and I had that day in the in the Santa's grotto, didn't I?
Yeah.
last recording, and yeah, we recorded it on that particular day, and I was on a high, you know, and you know, I spoke about mince pies and drinking lots of drink and all the rest of it. I was on a high, Pete, going into the end of the year.
Yeah,
it'd been a difficult year because lots of different family circumstances and stuff was kicking off, and I didn't really want to talk about that on this podcast. But been a difficult year in certain aspects. The investing side of it, for me, bizarrely, people may not understand it, it's probably the least important part of my life. My other most important part of my life is my wife, my daughter, and the community stuff that I do.
Yeah.
So when I came onto that last podcast and I had those experiences in that grotto, and the kids were so happy and they were going away ecstatics, and their parents were ecstatic, I was like, woo woo woo, come on, let's have it, you know. And as soon as we finished the podcast, I was like, shh, the can was open. I
had my tea. Yeah.
And I literally haven't stopped, Pete. All I've been doing is gorging on drink and on mince pies. I even put a tweet out because I described the mince pies, didn't I, on the last podcast?
Yeah.
And I put a picture out. And literally, I got to the last box of these rum, coconut, and cherries mince pies. The last box was there. And I was going, oh, my gosh. And I took a picture and I put a tweet out because I was actually literally a bit like, oh, it's the last one.
How am I going to survive the year? Yeah.
So it was almost like I was entering the year a bit like, oh, I've got to stop eating mince pies now. The other thing was, when you say about health-wise or whatever, I almost, you know, I'm not got into third gear yet because I feel myself a little bit carrying a bit of podge around my tummy because I've drank too much Baileys, ate too many mince pies, and I've not been out for walks, not been exercising. I've been sitting there in front of the telly. I've been playing board games. I've not actually been going out doing much, Pete, exercise-wise. And now I'm thinking, mate, the last mince pie's gone. It's time to start.
That's the message.
It's time to start being a bit more disciplined about your food. So today, what have I eaten to treat myself? I've had pumpkin seeds, Pete, and an apple, a banana, and a tub of grapes.
That's good, though. Talk about extremes. That's good.
And I've not had any alcohol this week since Saturday.
Wow, mate, that is good. Hey.
And I'm not doing dry January, mate. So I'm usually in a good spirit. I start every day. This is another trick that I haven't shared with people. I start every day with a nice hot shower. And the last minute of that shower, I turn it down to as cold as I can bear it. Cold as I can bear it, mate. And then I'm out of the shower, dry myself off every day. It's the ritual that I've got. And that 1 minute of freezing cold water just fires me up and I'm ready for the day, mate. So I'm usually upbeat, Pete.
That's incredible. Mate, I was just thinking on the psychology, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to this. And viewers, I mustn't forget our viewers because we have viewers on YouTube and we have listeners on the podcast.
I'm going to just say one thing there, Pete. I need to thank all the ladies and gents that have been actually subscribing to our YouTube channel. Because the numbers are going up. We still got to get to 1,000. So anyone that's listening to this, regardless of what platform you're listening on, please just take 1 minute of your time and go and hit the subscribe button on YouTube, which is the Conker's Corner channel for the Twin Peaks podcast. Just go and hit the button, even if you don't even use it. But I know you use YouTube for something, but just go and hit the subscribe and let's get it to 1,000 before the competition starts. I don't want to make it a criteria for entering the competition because that's not fair, but just hit the subscribe button and then we'll get to 1,000 in the next couple of months. Sorry, Pete, you're going to say?
Brilliant. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure that people will be able to relate to this. One of the things that I think changes things psychologically for me for the change from 2022 to 2023 is the fact that instead of looking at a portfolio which has just constantly been battered all through the year, so it's like whenever I look at the valuation of my portfolio, you just look at it and you're saying, oh, for God's sake, it's down however many percent, and it just gets on your I don't know, it's just wearing on you mentally, yeah? So to be able to come into a new year where effectively the scores are back to zero, you know, it's back to zero, we're starting a fresh year. Psychologically, and the fact that we've been able to start, so we're getting a good few positive days behind us, I think it really helps my mood. And I hate that because I hate the fact that it's affecting me that way. But I think it's very hard to get away from. And I think, you know, you've got to have optimism. You've got to have positivity. And there's no point attacking the markets if you're just some kind of miserable pessimist all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it is useful to have an optimism bias. But we've just got to sort of think about these psychology things and sort of check ourselves when we're getting too euphoric and we're making silly decisions. We're putting too much money down, taking too much commitment, too much risk, because we're over enthusiastic on the optimism.
Okay. Here's a tip. Here's a tip for everybody.
Cold shower.
No.
No.
Here's a tip for everybody out there regarding investing and life. A psychological tip. Okay. And you can do this with a cleaned out jam jar if you want to. Just get some post-it notes from any sort of stationery shop, right? And before you go to bed, get your jam jar, get your pen, and you write on there a little something about one aspect of your day that you are grateful for, that you feel blessed about, that you're like, oh, mate, I just saw that one little tweet or that one little gag or one little piece of a series that I've been watching that made me just howl with laughter, or something that you've seen that makes you appreciate that whatever it is that you've got. Just write it down, put it in the, fold it up, stick it in the jar. Do that every single day. And every single day that you do that, you get to the end of the year, you've got a full jam jar of stuff that you're grateful for and you feel blessed for and you're cherished and you're happy about. And any time during the year, whether it's to do with investing or whether it's to do with life in general or stuff's getting you down, just take a moment, open the jar, read a few things. You know, you put a date on it that it was the 5th or the 11th of January that that happened. You know, pull it out. That day I was grateful for that. It'll help you find something to be grateful for. It'll help you find something to be happy for throughout the year. And then that day you go, what have I been grateful for today? I was down before I opened the jar. I was grateful because the jar's there for me to remind me of what I should be grateful for.
Love it. That's great. That is great. May, I think that is, I mean, I'm not into these sort of psychological fixes.
Mindfulness, Pete. It's about appreciating and being present in every moment. Because what the thing that I've worked with lots of people on this, Pete, kids and adults and professionals, and what we've got to be mindful of all of the time is that we're here, we're present, we're available. We've got the opportunity to do stuff. You and I, Pete, and lots of other people listening to this podcast, have lost people and they're no longer here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So okay. We are blessed to have another hour of this day, another 24 hours, hopefully tomorrow. Some people aren't, Pete. We're still dealing with the Ukraine-Russian war. There's people dying every single day.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So you, me, and anyone listening to this podcast are effing lucky to be here, mate.
Yeah, spot on, man.
Right?
Spot on.
So cherish it. Don't get tied up on whether my portfolio is going up 1% or 2%. You know, I was going to talk about the profit warnings I've had today. I've had loads of DMs going, Peter, you're right. I'm going, I'm fine. This is part and parcel of investing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I get one last August, Pete, I had 3 takeovers on the bounce, 90%, 48%, 30%.
Yeah.
These 6 days, I've had 3 profit warnings, right?
On the bounce.
Minus 30%, minus 40%. It happens. I take them each exactly the same.
It's all part of the joys of it. No, I was going to say, mate, your jam jar thing, like I said, I don't normally get into particular things like that, but I can see the logic of it, and I think that's a really good idea. And I would say to a lot of listeners, if they think that would help them, then by all means, try it, because it sounds a very good idea.
Some of us have really got some real deep stuff going on.
Yeah,
there are some people in really difficult situations. We've got guys on here that are being beaten up by their wives. We've got wives on here and partners on here that are getting all kinds of stuff going on. You know, Man City have lose at the weekend, and someone's in for hitting. It's like, come on, find something to be grateful for. Channel all your energies to positivity. Show some kindness towards other people. And this is about self-care, Pete. We have to look after each other.
Yeah.
You know, I have to look after me. I'm doing all these other stuff, but if I'm not in a good shape to look after me.
Yeah, you know. That's it. At the end of the day, your mental well-being, your mental solidity, your resilience.
Resilience,
is absolutely crucial. And along with your physical health, you've got to keep yourself. And the thing is, you won't be able to take on the markets effectively if you're all over the place. You know, I felt this last year where my physical health definitely affected my performance on the markets, because there were times when the last thing I felt like doing, I just literally couldn't do it, was to do anything to do with the markets. And I found that immensely frustrating, you know, mentally frustrating. But you've just got to keep pushing. You know, for me, the way I deal with it is I just have to keep pushing through it. To me, the problems I have, the things that come up against me in life, they're all just problems to solve. It's just problems on a list. And I've just got to prioritize those problems, and I've got to work through those problems. And that's the way I think about things, the way I've always been a sort of problem solver kind of mentality. And that's the way I deal with things. And people got to get their own methods and ways of dealing with it. And as I said, the jam jar idea sounds brilliant.
If I would say anything to anybody, and this might sound absolutely bizarre coming from someone that's been pushing and promoting two podcasts for a couple of years and pushing this one for 4 with Pete, is that don't make the outcome of your portfolio on a daily, monthly, or yearly basis the priority of your life. Make your life the priority and your health the priority of your life and the family and your loved ones.
Portfolio is just an ends to a means. Yeah, the portfolio.
But don't make it the most important thing. Yeah, don't make your football. Don't make the result of your football team or your rugby team or your Formula One person the result of that the most important thing in your life.
Yeah.
Make your life the most important thing in your life.
Yeah, totally. Makes sense.
Yeah? Okay. Where do you want to go now, Pete? We seem to have gone off a right tangent there. Sorry.
Up to you, mate. What do you want to go to?
Right. So I want you to. I think we've covered it a little bit. I wanted to say about, we touched on it. There's two things. One thing I was saying all of last year, that is going to be more and more takeovers. And we've already had, I think, one already, or earmarked potentially, or a couple already takeovers. But I think because of what Pete and I have spoken about in 2022, some of it's going to come to force in 2023. And it's already happening. And that's going to be, we're going to see more and more profit warnings, folks. I was speaking to somebody just yesterday and I was saying, you know what, it's going to be one of them years where you see FTSE 100, FTSE 250 companies being hit and potentially hit hard from left field because capex costs and cost of living costs and energy costs and all these different impacts are going to be impacting stocks, behemoth stocks and all the rest of it. You've got the likes of Amazon, you know, saying they're going to reduce costs. Reduce numbers of employees. And that's when you know that they're already flagging, you know, something coming down the pipe. So just be careful out there, folks, because no stock or company is going to be immune to this, you know. So be mindful. So I've had three in 6 days. I'll just shout out these names. Angle, profit warning. The share price has gone like that, wallop, all the way down. Just look at the chart, Pete. It looks like I'm on, if I'm a shareholder, it looks like I'm on skis going like that. Whoosh.
Oh, mate.
At great speed. Oh. Darktrace today, profit warning. Again, you know, another one been bossed of mine. And then the one that you touched on that's impacted the whole insurance sector, Direct Line, got walloped today. So that's three in 6 days. And I'm going.
So you hold Direct Line?
I hold Direct Line, yeah.
Oh mate,
yeah, I've got it in my income portfolio, Pete. But I've had it for a little while. But
yeah,
I'm like very sanguine about it, Pete. These things happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I said this to somebody else who contacted me in India. Had it been AstraZeneca that came out with that today, yes, I would be like maybe not so psychologically intact. You know what I mean? But that's another thing I'm trying to do with AstraZeneca because I made this decision middle of last year because it was just getting way, way, way too big. Yeah. And each time, this might sound a bit, you know, some people find that difficult to understand, but each time it goes up another bag, I'm just going to take a chunk of change off it. Again.
Well, it's just about controlling risk.
We've got too oversized, Pete. So unless there's something really, really difficult happens in the market, which caused me to take even more of it off, I'm just going to start decreasing my risk to the market in one stock because it's just got too big.
Yeah, no, I think that I think this year we've got to be cautious. I don't think we should be totally moving to cash or anything that drastic, but I think it's going to be a year for caution again and just, you know, taking things steady and seeing how the year develops and not rushing into anything.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've been trying to find while we've been talking. The thing that I was saying to Richard about, you know, not being all about the markets. Here we go. Mm. So this is a fantastic quote. If anyone hasn't gone to read this yet, please do so. From Richard Bedard. He's a fantastic writer, and he writes for ShareScope and Interactive Investor and a few other places. And he writes this. Drawing conclusions about an investor's skill from any single year is about as predictive as reading tea leaves, and that may be doing tea leaves a disservice. That is just poignant, mate. It's so beautiful.
So true, isn't
it? You know, so just think long term, mate, and don't judge people on what they've done in one year. You know, it's a bit like when you see all these ads for funds, you know, the performance for 1 year is no guide to what the future performance will be. Paraphrase, you know what I mean, Pete?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go back now to a couple of other people that have entered the competition. And one of them is your mate, Pete. Pat Axie?
Pat Axie. Yes, it's Patrick. I know him from Mainnet. Good lad. Good guy. Okey-dokey. Hi, Pat, you're all right.
Yeah, so Pete, your mate Pat here has chosen a right mixture here. He's chosen Emerson. Do you know what they do?
EML. It's an oil company in Argentina or something, or Brazil or
related
something.
To that. Yes. Supreme, which I think you held one time before.
No, SUP. That's the one. I got a bit of a thing against SUP because of the vaping. I'm not overly happy about
right,
the vaping.
Okey-dokey.
But I think if I didn't have that restriction, I think it's an interesting looking stock.
Okay. Legal in general, which obviously was probably knocked a little bit today by DLG, and Walt Disney. So all of his can be in the competition. So that was another set of five, which I find really interesting. There's quite a few people having a look, I think, at Walt Disney, because it's been one of those stocks that's been knocked a little bit, and you know, recession and less tourism and all the rest of it. And I think if markets don't go into recession and people do start to travel again, I think it could do quite well.
You know, and it's got obviously the Star Wars franchise and the Pixar stuff. I mean, it is the world's leading entertainment company. I mean, you know, you can't.
Yeah.
It's also one of the world's leading brands. I mean, everybody on the planet has heard of Disney. I mean, it's an incredible brand, and it's a brand that's been established over almost centuries, certainly decades. Yeah, over decades. But yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I definitely like that idea.
Okay, Pete, you give us one more set of five and then we're going to call it a wrap on this. And I'm going to try and keep these a bit shorter going forward.
Okay, well, this is going to be completely at random because this is...
Just put one out of the air, mate.
Yeah, this is Galleon 73. IG, okay. How you doing? You're all right. Galleon 73, BNTX. Is that BioNTech? I think it might be. Which is obviously the drug, you know, the vaccine and whatever people. I'm pretty sure he means that. Or maybe I've written it down wrong and it's probably BioVentix BVXP. But no, anyway, BNTX. PayPal, PYPL. I hold that myself. Yeah. And I know Galleon 73 holds it. Zoo Digital. That's an interesting one. I think they do like translation services for films and content and that for films and media, TV media and whatever. That's an interesting one. Stuff. EBQ, Ubiquiti, I think that is.
Ubiquiti, yeah.
Is that the one with the filters? I think it is, isn't it? The cigarette filters and stuff, right?
I can't remember. I thought they were like a business consultancy company, but I could be completely
wrong. You're right. I'm getting that one confused with another that I can't figure the damn name of, but I will do. EBQ, that was. And then the other one he's got, this is an interesting one, is CAPE, K-A-P-E, which is the cybersecurity one, which has been on quite a low rating. So he could do well on that. I think that's an interesting selection.
Yeah, I think we are going to have some interesting selections, Pete. And this is precisely what I want, because I think when you and I are looking at the universe of stocks, we end up looking at what's doing well and what's not doing so well. And people are looking far wider than that, you know what I mean, regarding the markets. So this is what I want to throw up. I want us to be able to discuss some of these going forward, some of the selections, some of the portfolios, and encourage other people to participate. So we're going to call it a day with that, folks. We haven't been on here long. It doesn't feel like we've been on here long, but we actually have. We've probably done a good 60 minutes, 70 minutes already. So here's the plan. This one goes out, you listen to it, you subscribe on YouTube, you send us your five selections, you put a dollar sign, ticker symbol, and where it's based. So UK, US, Canada, we enter you into the competition. The closing date, ladies and gents, is the 27th of January. And then we can collate it all, and then we'll record another podcast, which will probably be around the 25th, and then we'll start the competition from the first. We'll go live from the 1st of February. I would hope that everyone would help us with this by replying to a tweet from Pete or replying to a tweet from me and saying, ERP, Wheelie, here's my 5. Thanks for the podcast. And we get on from there. And we'll have some more information when we record the next podcast. And we'll again share some of the portfolios that have been chosen from people and some of the stocks that they've discussed about it. And if you've got any other ideas or suggestion about the competition, then please let us know. In the meantime, I want to thank everybody for supporting the Backup Trust last year, for helping us raise nearly $5,000 and supporting Pete regarding the Backup Trust. I'm hoping to hear some news from them regarding the monies over the next couple of weeks, and we'll let you know about that. And please, 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 can you support the Memphis charity push that we're going to do this year? And I'll let you know some more details about that. The link will be on the write-up for this, and it will be the Twin Peaks Challenge 2023 or 23 will be the page on the Just Giving page. But if you do go on the wrong page, they'll just move that money over to the page for this year. Anything you want to add, Pete?
Well, the only thing I'd just say is when you reply to the tweets for your 5 stocks, can you please copy, if it's to me, can you copy Peter on it at Conkers3? If it's to Peter, can you copy me on it at Wheelie Dealer? Just so we got it covered, because we are going to miss some. And what we will do is we'll read out a list at some point of everybody we've had, or we'll put it out on Twitter or whatever. And if you find your name is not on there, but you sent us a thing, then we'll enter you on there later. We're going to, we're bound to miss.
If you send it to us before the date, then we'll definitely include you in. But the other thing to do, if you don't want to do that, or you can do that as well, is just put in hashtag Twin Peaks Challenge.
Yeah.
And that will get, and that will then get to us. Hashtag Twin Peaks Challenge. And that way, any of us will be able to find it. But please, I would much prefer for you to reply to one of us rather than just put it out there, because we won't see it at all. Yeah, so reply to one of the tweets and see what goes on from there. And if you want to add Pete's name in or my name into either one, we're guaranteed both one of us will see it. Okay, so that's a wrap, folks. Thank you ever so much. Stay healthy. If you've got any mince pies, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know anymore. I think it was one of your mates, maybe Pat, today, told me this caramel and chocolate wreath thing, and I was like, it looked lush, mate. My body's now a temple, folks. A big round temple. I'm going to be good going forward, mate. No more sweet things for a little while, at least. All right, ladies and gents, enjoy this podcast. Give us your feedback. Enter the competition. Take care of yourselves. Be kind. And Pete and I will very much look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks' time. And hopefully, if I can get some things sorted out and Pete can sort some things out, we might be able to see you even live and face-to-face at some point during 2023. So keep an eye out.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Take care, people. Bye for now.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.